I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Morgan Snyder with Visit Indy. We're here in Bluebeard Restaurant.
Ethan Hochstein, also at Bluebeard Restaurant off the Indianapolis Cultural Trail.
Selena Scardina of the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. I've been an Indiana resident now for over 10 years.
Here we are in the heart of Indiana. What a dynamic, what an ever-changing, robust place this is. That you'd never guess it if you hadn't been here.
Yes, I love to hear you say that because I think for many residents that came and discovered Indy, they've stayed because there's something going on here. And you feel it when you come into Indianapolis. We're an ascending city. There's so much development right now that's really cool, tourism infrastructure that's really going to take Indy to the next level. And I think people are finding that out, and they're wanting to come and explore Indy, and sometimes they stay.
I think there's that small town, big town paradox. You know, we talked about it today 2-3 times. There's the true classic small town sense. Two people hit an intersection, stop sign at the same time, and no, you go. It's a stalemate of courtesy. And we talked about the friendliness of the people just walking around town today, how open and friendly and ready they were to talk to us.
Yeah, that's called Hoosier hospitality, actually. There's a name for it. It's more than a catchphrase. It's in our DNA, and I think you feel that at every corner in Indianapolis.
It doesn't end at the city limits. So.
That's right. Hoosier hospitality. I mean, you're going to feel it when you're here, and it's something we want people to leave and go home and talk about. I think it's what makes the people and the place so special.
Since we're talking about Indianapolis, talk to us about the modern iteration of alternative transportation, something you're involved in.
Yeah, so I think kind of to that small town, like people want to live in big town, but people are realizing they don't want to be in cars all the time. They want to be able to walk, they want to be able to bike, they want to be able to take public transit. And I think Indy's a sleeper city in that. And the cultural trail is a perfect example. A lot of people don't know about it, but it allows you to do all that. Like we just even this afternoon, we were able to go all through downtown, through a very busy downtown. There's a concert going on, and we were on bikes. We felt safe. We parked our bikes, got off, had dinner, and we'll walk back however we choose. And I think that speaks to the livability and just the general allure of the place. The Indianapolis Cultural Trail operates the Pacers Bike Share system. It's one of the programs we operate, and you're able to go up. It's like bike share in many cities, but we've really been intentional with where we put the stations here in Indianapolis. You're able to walk up, you check out, you can return it to any station. You do have to return it to a station. You don't want to just leave it on the side of the street. And then you're able to just go about your day. And then like even after this, you want to walk back for a little bit. You can hop back on a bike. You can check out a bike.
Like Selena was talking earlier about, could she rent one here, ride it downtown to her work, and drop it off there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have people use that all the time. They'll ride it from meeting to meeting. They drive down, they go to their office, they step out, take a bike share bike across, you know, a couple blocks over to work, then end up walking back. It's arguably the best way to get around. I'm biased, of course, but I love it. I log a lot of trips each year.
And so that's your job. You have to ride a bike.
Yes. I get to ride a bike for work, which is, there's worse ways to make a living for sure.
And what attracted you to come here to Indiana? You're not a native.
Yeah, so I moved to Indianapolis about 4 years ago. And for me, Indy was able to create the lifestyle that all these other cities sell. I'm able to live downtown. I can afford it. I'm a horticulturalist. I don't make a ton of money, but I can live downtown. I can walk. I can go to the grocery store, walk home with my groceries. It's small enough. Like Morgan and I just found out we live like a block away from each other. Yeah, we found that out tonight. We live in the same neighborhood.
Earlier, you and I were talking, and we're in a neighborhood within the core of downtown Indianapolis. But yet, I was telling you, I feel like I'm in some small Midwestern town, even though we're walkable to the heart of downtown Indianapolis, a city of 1 million people.
Yeah. You can have both experiences. You can go to the concert. You can go to a quiet street. It's really nice. So that's what attracted me, and that's what's kept me this long, is that quality of life and lifestyle.
Interesting. And you had a pretty good quality of life in Oregon.
Yes, I was. So. Yeah, that turns some heads when I tell people I moved from Oregon. That's not a is typical of a state direction.
Selena, tell us about your world.
My world is kind of interesting. I have the responsibility to drive a lot of the marketing communications for the economic opportunity here for businesses and for workforce across the state.
Okay, beyond Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So we live in northern part, northeastern part of Indiana in Fort Wayne. And then we also have a smaller home here in Indianapolis. And we venture through the state. When we left a very big city, we were looking to stay in the Midwest, but we wanted more, and what that more was the conveniences of a great big city, but the walkability and the usability of a smaller, more tight-knit community, and that's what we found here.
And another dynamic that you all kind of take for granted because you're embedded here, but as an outsider who lives in California, it's like how refreshing to have real estate housing that's so affordable that your kids can afford to buy a house here across the state.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most exciting things when we moved here. We thought our children are going to need a great education, and they got that here. But what was unexpected was the ease of purchasing a first home. Our son purchased his first home. He's 27 on his own, and he works remote. So there's a lot of remote workers we're finding that are choosing Indiana because of the cost of living and other reasons.
And that follows, there's an attraction to Indiana among corporate big flag people that have their headquarters here or have started up here. We talked about the music company earlier.
Yeah, there's a lot of great companies, like, for example, Eli Lilly, that's one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, is over 130 years old, right here.
They're headquartered here?
Yeah, they're headquartered here. We can tell you so many other companies like Cummins and Zimmer Biomet, for example, which is in the northern part, is the orthopedic capital of the world here. But then you have a lot of great startups and opportunities to grow your business. You know, some other publications have ranked us in the top five of starting a business and then staying in business after 5 years. So that's important for me, my kids, and those that want to grow their businesses.
Talk to us about a couple, I know it's hard to pick your favorite kid, but a couple of your businesses that you're most impressed with.
Well, of course, I'm going to talk about the business I was associated with. So the creative economy is booming here in Indiana. I mentioned Sweetwater Sound. They're over $1 billion, $1.2 billion. They were started here 40 years ago, really on an idea that Indiana could help cultivate music opportunity through Pro Audio and music instruments. And doing it with this idea of customer experience and experience at scale. And Indiana was right for that because we're really concerned with each other's success here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm a living testimonial of a happy customer. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, I ordered some equipment and it was the follow-up. I mean, a sales person calls me up a week later to make sure I got the equipment and it works okay. And that's never happened before.
Yeah, that's the Sweetwater difference. And yeah. I was lucky to work with that company. So, of course, it's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Okay, your turn.
One of my favorite companies in Indianapolis. I am in the seat where I get to promote all of Indianapolis. So, yes, this is a very difficult question. But I'm gonna talk about one. Not one company, I'm breaking your rules, Tom, but talking about the food scene in Indianapolis as a whole, I think, you know, you say sleeper city on transportation, it's a sleeper city on food, too. You know, we're sitting at Bluebeard Restaurant, and it's been a James Beard-nominated restaurant 5 times over, led by Chef Abby Maris. She's doing phenomenal work here in the city. Right across the street, you've got Milktooth Restaurant. That chef has been on the front cover of Food & Wine magazine as a best new chef. We are surrounded by incredible agriculture in the city of Indianapolis. It's in our backyard.
Kind of a convergence where a chef comes here and starts the momentum, which propels another startup guy to take a risk.
I really think so. And there's such a mentorship that's going on in Indianapolis where you've seen chefs come in, sous chefs learn from these chefs, open up their next restaurant. And it's while it's a competitive city, it's a city where we're going to wrap our arms around each other and try to make Indy the best city that it can be. And I think you're really seeing that right now in our food scene.
So you represent, like you said earlier, more than Indianapolis. You represent the whole entire state.
Well, Selena gets to represent the whole state. I get to represent the city of Indianapolis. Yes, so we switch roles. No, that's okay. You've been on a flight, a red-eye flight, early this morning. So talking about the city as a whole, all of Marion County and all the great things that are happening, and like the cultural trail, like our food scene, there's about $1.7 billion in new tourism infrastructure underway currently in this city. What we're doing over with the White River is another thing I'm so proud of as a city, and that's been a decade-long White River cleanup project. We have a river that runs right through our city. People are attracted to water. For decades, cities across America neglected their waterways. So Indy has been pouring a lot of money, time, and attention into being underground and cleaning up our river. And we're just now at the point where we're getting recreationally clean waterways. And so what you're going to see is a 58-mile river activation project that is going to be a massive game changer. And I think about what the cultural trail did for Indianapolis in 2013, and I think the White River is the next step in really putting Indianapolis on the map, from connecting our trailway system with the cultural trail, which leads straight to the White River and that massive cleanup project. So there's so many great things happening in the city, and I get to be in an awesome spot where we can talk about that.
Okay, Selena, your turn. Talk to us about the greater picture across the state.
The greater picture across the state, I think, is a very prosperous and bright one. You know, what attracted us to Indiana was this opportunity, right? It was education and employment, and we thought, well, we'll be here for a couple years and move on. I think it's like one of the best kept secrets right now. And I think the reason it is because, you know, there's this idea of cost of living, and that makes a lot of sense, and we're extremely affordable and very well run and well balanced. But I think there's more to this. I like to say, whatever your version of your dream is, mm-hmm. We talked about this earlier, Tom, if you vocalize what that dream is, someone's going to help you get there. Maybe you want to start a business and be in the restaurant scene. There's an amazing farm-to-fork scene up in Fort Wayne, and there's Joseph Dupuis. All you have to do is mention that you want to do that, and they'll take you under your wing. So whatever that dream is or whatever that aspiration is, you can achieve it here. So that's what's exciting. So we'll see big business here, but we'll see a lot of startups, and we'll see people who just want their version of that dream.
Mm-hmm. So opportunity, pretty endless, huh?
That's the only way I can bottle it up, is whatever that opportunity. So your opportunity might be different than someone else's, but scope that out and what you want. And, you know, if you want to live on a farm and that's your goal, to have a little hobby ranch, go do it. Or if you want to have an incredibly fulfilling corporate career, I've been able to grow my career in multiple companies here, then go do it.
That's really cool. Okay. Parting thoughts.
Parting thoughts on just Indianapolis in general?
And the state, yeah. Yeah.
So I love to cycle. I love to bike. I love to be outside and just, like I said, have that very urban experience. I think Indy, definitely, and I'll just hit it again, really is underappreciated after living in other cities that get a lot of credit like that, Chicago, New York, Portland, D.C. Those cities, while are fun and exciting for myself, you would never take a family of five on a bike trip through the city. In Indy, you can do that. And that speaks to, it just creates a much richer and much more in-depth experience for all involved when everybody can participate. So that'd be kind of my parting thoughts.
Very cool. And one more, you have a nest of professional sports stuff right in the heart of town you can walk to from your hotel.
Yes, it is no secret that Indianapolis is a sports city. We host major sporting events year after year. I mean, we have been hosting the Indianapolis 500 for decades, and it is, you know, an opportunity where we get to welcome over 300,000 people into the city for the world's largest single-day sporting event every year, every May, and we do it so seamlessly. The world knows that, and I think that's how we continue to get these huge sporting events like the Final Fours. We hosted the entire March Madness during the pandemic, and to be able to do something to that magnitude is quite impressive.
So women's basketball is huge here too.
WNBA Indiana Fever over at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. You know, on our bike tour today, we got to see the major $30 million expansion that Gainbridge Fieldhouse is rolling out with their Bicentennial Unity Pavilion. You've got the WNBA Pacers. Three blocks away, you've got the NFL Indianapolis Colts. So it is a sports city. We have so many Olympic governing bodies that are headquartered in Indianapolis. In fact, next year we actually get to welcome the Olympic swimming trials in Indianapolis, where we are going to have the first ever NFL stadium be turned into Olympic swimming pools. And so the most prestigious swimmers in America will be convening in Indianapolis to try to make it to the Olympics and represent our country. So sports city, it's no secret.
That's so cool. To learn more,
head to visitindy.com. Check us out on our social channels, Visit Indy, and always happy to be a resource. Morgan Snyder with Visit Indy.
To learn more about the Cultural Trail and Pacers Bike Trail System, go to indyculturaltrail.org. My name is Ethan Hochstein with the Indianapolis Cultural Trail.
To learn more about the opportunities here in the economy in Indiana, visit iedc.in.gov. My name is Selena Scardina with the Indiana Economic Development Corporation.
Thank you guys so much. This is great. And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Indianapolis, Indiana. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.